The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of 55KRC, The Talk Station, and Clear Channel Worldwide.
Target acquisition confirmed.
You have a green light.
Locked and loaded.
It's Trigger Time.
Hello, welcome to Trigger Time. I'm Joe Barrett, your host. Thank you for joining us tonight. As always, I'm joined in the booth by my wife, Amy.
Hi, everybody.
Scott is with us as well.
Good evening.
We don't have a guest expert tonight, so we'll be the guest experts tonight on Trigger Time. How's that? We want to remind everybody to join the NRA, a couple other good organizations, firearm organizations, Buckeye Firearm Association, Ohioans for Concealed Carry. Great organizations. And in the way of advertisements, too, wanted to remind our listeners, Concealed Carry 2, a class that is meeting for the first time Thursday, February 10th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Target World facility. You know, and what Amy and I have had a lot of training out of TDI, and this is really, we're going to talk about this topic a little bit later tonight, but this class is very focused, obviously. It's not a long class. It's got a very few short goals that we try to meet with the students. And I really think it would be very helpful to the students that come. If you are interested in attending that class, it is taught by myself. My wife, Amy, will be teaching with helping me. You can contact Target World at 772-3343 or visit them on their website at targetworld.net. Or you can email them at info@targetworld.net and get on the list for that class. Also, show ideas, guest suggestions. You know, we've done a number of shows that were recommended by our listeners, and we'll continue to do that. So please email us your show ideas, info@triggertimewithjoe.com. Those are very important. Also, gun questions. You know, a lot of times people have questions about what may seem a silly question to them or may seem a question that is overly complex to them. And, you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll find somebody that does. But feel free to email us any questions like that that you have, info@triggertimewithjoe.com. We do answer every email. I want to read something to you. It says, on Tuesday, January 18th, Representative Carolyn McCarthy, Democrat in New York, introduced H.R. 308, the Large Capacity Ammunition Feeding Device Act. The bill would ban the manufacture and importation of new magazines that can hold more than 10 rounds of ammunition. Unlike the magazine ban that was in effect from 1994 to 2004, her new bill would also make it illegal for the tens of millions of Americans who already own these magazines to sell or otherwise transfer them, even through inheritance. In a letter to her colleagues, Representative McCarthy claimed the only reason for the existence of these devices is to be able to shoot as many people as quickly as possible. Wow. Yet, her bill would allow the continued acquisition and possession of these magazines by law enforcement officers who carry firearms to defend themselves and the public. It would even allow these magazines to be transferred to law enforcement officers upon retirement, and even though retired officers' rights to carry firearms for self-defense is the same as any other private citizen's rights. What's amazing is, on one hand, the only reason these magazines exist is to kill as many people as is humanly possible, but on the other hand, law enforcement needs them. When was the last time we heard of a law enforcement officer needing to kill as many people as possible?
Right.
Well, it's absurd. And this is what happens. You know, there was a tragedy in Tucson that was a shame. And so now we have people jumping on the corpses and shot bodies of those people trying to further their agendas. That's all this is. What will happen very quickly, and this is the way it works. Well, Joe, what's the big deal? You know, your Glock held 17 rounds. So what if it only held 10 rounds? What would be the big deal? When was the last time you needed more than 10 rounds? Have you needed more than 10 rounds yet? That's the question. Again, we're asking everyone to predict the future. Can't know that. Never going to know that. But where does it stop? You know, once we're down to 10, what happens when there's another tragedy? And then it's decided, do we really need 10? What if we only had 6? And then where does it end? The line continues to be moved when this type of thing has begun. The reason that will happen is because this is not an effective measure. to curtail this type of activity. So this will happen again. And then they will say, well, my God, 10 must be the problem. It must be that there's 10 and that's too much, so we must get it below 10. And then it's 5, and then it's 3. Where does it end? The problem is that they're trying to address this. Okay, it's like making a cake with cement powder. It won't work. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much cement powder you use or don't use, it's not going to work. You've got the wrong ingredients, okay? So if there ever was a good time to join the NRA, now is it, okay? You need to join the NRA. It's imperative. Most gun owners are not NRA members, and that's amazing to me because we desperately need your voice now. No question about that. They on Capitol Hill need to know that we are not going to stand for this type of thing. It's just not, we're not going to do it. And I think a lot of our lawmakers know that, but obviously some of them don't and are just trying to further an agenda that is not going to correct anything. It's not going to help anything. Want to read something else to you. In Lincoln, Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska lawmaker has introduced a bill to allow school administrators, teachers, security staff to carry concealed handguns in schools. Senator Mark Christensen of Imperial introduced the bill 2 weeks after the 17-year-old killed his vice principal and shot his principal before killing himself. Christensen says he has always opposed a ban on handguns in schools, but had no plans to introduce his bill until the shootings on January 5th. He says many schools don't even let security officers carry guns, leaving students and school employees helpless in the face of a shooter. The National Conference of State Legislatures says 42 states and the District of Columbia have banned schools, guns in schools, but it could not say whether any states allow them. You know, and it brings up an interesting point. The whole gun-free zone topic is one that we've touched on the show a few times. We've talked about all of us that are concealed carry people know what that means. And I was doing a favor for my sister recently. I made a delivery to a law office. I happened to be going somewhere. And as I entered the building, I noticed that it was a posted building. No guns allowed. When I got in there, I got to the fourth floor. And on the fourth floor was one person sitting at a desk by herself, sitting there. Receiving whatever deliveries were coming and so on and so forth. And it occurred to me that when I look at this woman, if I were to say, so do you feel safer knowing this is a no carry, there's no guns allowed in this building? Oh yeah, boy, that really makes me feel safe. So we're gonna talk a little bit tonight about gun-free zones, and what the reality of a gun-free zone is. And if you have a contribution you want to make to the topic tonight, the gun-free zone topic, 749-5500, you're welcome. If you are one of these people who just has too much time on his hands and is trying to get 30 seconds on the air, it's not going to happen. So let's avoid all the goofy calls and let's get some people in here that have something really, really worthwhile to hear. We'd love to take your call. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment with more Trigger Time with Joe and Amy here on 55KRC, the talk station.
Okay, you're back with Trigger Time with Joe and Amy on 55KRC, the talk station. If you'd like to join the show with a question or a comment, give us a call now at 513-749-5500.
Thank you, Amy. That's right. This is Trigger Time with Joe and Amy. Let's go right to the phones and talk to Carl. Carl, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How can I do for you?
I was at the Waffle House, and they used to not have the sign up, no conceal. Mm-hmm. Well, now they do, and they're saying that Ohio has a law that if a business is 24 hours, you cannot, you're not allowed to carry.
That's bull. Yeah, that's not true.
And
I mean,
they told the employees this, and I think it says come and rob me.
Well, that is exactly what it says, and we're going to talk about that tonight. But the Ohioans for Concealed Carry, Buckeye Firearms Association, organizations that that look into these type of things. Mm-hmm. Believe me, I've heard all sorts of stories. Companies will tell their employees this and tell their employees that, honestly, that is not even remotely true. There is no such law, and there would be no logic behind it if there were. They are just asking, asking for, hey, by the way, Mr. Criminal, you know, nobody in here is armed or able to defend themselves. So if you've got a burr in your saddle, feel free to work it out in here. And that's what it amounts to.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, it's the same thing with, you know, like Walmart. Walmart has banks in there, and they're telling, yeah, but they don't have the right, yeah, they don't put a sign up
right
on it. But if you're not going to the bank and you're going into the Walmart,
right.
I mean, does that mean you can't carry because there's a bank in the
actually, you know, here's the thing. The banks, it's a common misconception that banks are prohibited zones no matter what. That's not true. There are actually banks in Cincinnati that allow concealed carry. So if there's no sign on the door that says you can't carry, you can carry in there. A bank is not an automatically prohibited place. They like to act like they are. They want to put their hands up in the air to their customers and say, yeah, it's out of our hands, but it's not. It's in their hands. So, you know, if you bank somewhere where they don't allow concealed carry, you should find one that does and tell your manager you're going to move your account because you're not allowed to defend yourself in there.
Okay.
Okay,
thanks.
Carl?
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you. Bye. Yeah, you know, here's the thing. That when it comes to being allowed to carry or not being allowed to carry in a place, the gun-free zones, there are a couple of different types. There's the types that are posted by the owners or the agents of the over the facility. And then there's the types that are prohibited under law. Schools, courts, police stations, those are the type of places you can't carry because the law is written such that you can't carry there. Now, is that a good idea? No, not necessarily. It's not a good idea. There are ways of making a gun-free zone okay, and we're going to talk about that tonight. But simply posting a place, do not carry, that doesn't help. But the intention behind it, okay, and let me, you know, I'm not trying to be the devil's advocate here and argue for them, not at all. But the intention is safety, okay? Ultimately, they think, well, we want people to be safer. And, you know, if there are no guns in the building, then we'll be safer. But this depends upon an enormous assumption that a person intending to harm those inside will only decide that after they've gone in, okay? So what this might do, okay, what this might do is, let's say Mr. Smith comes to work one day, observes the sign and the policy of no carrying firearms inside, then goes in and then decides after he's inside, you know what? I'd really like to shoot this place up, but I didn't bring my gun today. I'm not allowed to have my gun in here, so I won't be able to do that. That's the only, and obviously we're being ridiculous because that's not going to happen. If Mr. Smith wants to shoot the place up, he's going to, okay? But the fact of the matter is that sign doesn't prohibit anything from happening, okay, except the law-abiding person from going in there exercising their right to be armed. The reality of a gun-free zone is helplessness. That's the only thing that it does generate. That's the only thing it creates. It creates helplessness. All right. Now, you know, we have to understand that there are people out there that want to go into a place with the intention of doing harm. We see that happen. And even though we see it happen, we still have people in influential positions that say, but we will not allow anyone to have a gun in there. And that's it. Not ever stopping to think for a second that this is not impacting this person, okay? There was a 17-year-old that recently carried a gun to school in his gym bag or whatever and dropped it supposedly and it went off. Whether he really dropped it and it went off or whether he was firing it through the bag, who knows? But the bottom line is, this happened. Why was he carrying the gun? What did he bring it in there to do? Was he afraid or was he intending to do harm? You see, most people, you know, don't want to think about that.
Well, a classic example of why those stickers on the front doors don't work.
Right. Well, I mean,
how did he get
the gun in? How did he get it in? The sticker didn't stop him, did it? No, of course the sticker didn't stop him. But what the sticker did do is it did stop the principal and the vice principal and the office workers and everyone else from carrying one. And if a shooting rampage begins and you're sitting there, you are a sitting duck, okay? We all watched the Florida video of the school board, right, where the guy goes in, he holds them all at bay. The woman comes up behind him, tries to knock the gun out of his hand, you know, brave move. Had she been allowed to be armed, she could have put him down with no problem. The problem is that we've decided, well, we'll have this sticker on there, we'll not allow anybody in, and that will solve our problem. And all it does is it creates the perfect place for one of these type of events. Because the people that come in under law that are law-abiding want to remain in good graces, obviously. They don't want to break the law. They don't want to break the rules of the facility. A company that, say, doesn't post its building, so it's legal to carry in there, but then has a company policy that says employees will not carry a firearm. Well, the employees want to remain in good standing with their employer, of course, right? So they don't carry, okay? So there they sit. And then down the hall, gunfire breaks out, okay? And there's no exit near them, or they can't. What can they do? What are their options now? Their options are to hopefully get away or to wait their turn. But their options are completely limited because of what? Because somebody thinks that by not allowing these people to be armed, they have made the facility safer. And it's simply a fallacy. Now, you want to be a gun-free zone? Here's what you do. There's only one way. There's only one way to be a gun-free zone and to do your duty, okay? I think any place that has a sign up that says no guns allowed has a duty to ensure that no guns can possibly get in. If they don't ensure that no guns can possibly get in, then I believe they're being negligent, and they ought to be held responsible for anybody that gets shot by someone that gets a gun in that facility. I think they should be held to that standard. If you don't want guns in your facility, then you put somebody at the door with a scanner, and you make certain that everybody that goes in is thoroughly scanned, and no guns can possibly get in. At that point, when I go in, I know that it's not simply a voluntary cooperation measure, that you have done everything you can to be certain that no firearms can get in this building. If you haven't done that, and I come in, and I end up getting killed by somebody that you allowed to waltz in with a gun, and yet your sign prohibited me doing it, you see, who's responsible? Why should I be responsible? Why should my loved ones? It's you. You're the one that put the sticker on the door. I've had training, and I have a firearm, and I have a legal right. I have a moral right to defend myself. I have a right to carry a firearm in Ohio. Why should I be the one? Why should I leave my firearm in the car when you're not going to do what you can do to make certain that I'm safe in this building? Clearly, they're not doing that. So anywhere, if you work somewhere, and I would love to see this happen, and I hope that it will, even though I know it's hard. I know it's difficult, okay? A company policy can change, okay? You can change company policies. First thing you'll hear is, well, it's come from corporate, and it's no, that's bull. Laws can change. Schools can. The laws governing whether or not a person can have a gun on school grounds can change. Yes, they can. Is it slow? Absolutely. But it needs to begin. Because what we don't want to hear, some of us don't want to hear, and others of us already know, there's only one answer for a madman with a gun. And that is a competent, trained, and willing person with a firearm. That's it. The only solution is a person who is willing to act, who has the training and the ability to act. That's the solution to a madman with a gun, and it's the only one. Now, we may not want to hear that, some of us, but it's the facts. It's the facts, and we know that. Before 9/11, you know, was there any talk of pilots carrying pistols? Why? We realize that in some situations, we really need people to be on the scene that are armed. They need to be there and armed. And if they're not there and armed, then there is no point to anything. Yes, call 911. That's wonderful. The police are on their way. That's wonderful. What did we do? We did the active shooter. 8 to 12 is a conservative number of people that die every minute in an active shooter situation. How long will it take law enforcement to arrive? What is your law enforcement's policy when they hear of an active shooter, when they're called to an active shooter situation? Is their policy to go in immediately, each individual officer as they arrive, or are they required to wait for 1, 2, 3, or even 4 officers before they go in? You see what I'm saying? As the time goes by, as the minutes mount up, so do the bodies, while this person is inside, one at a time, plugging away. All right? So if you work somewhere where you are not allowed to have a gun on your body, despite the fact that you are state legally allowed by the state, then you need to begin a movement to try to change that. Or you need to get your employer or whomever to change their contribution and to change they need to be serious about it. Put in the security measures necessary to prohibit these type of active shooter situations. It would be much better if, like the guy at the brewery or wherever it was, there was a beer manufacturer, mm-hmm, distributor. Yeah, right. I mean, how did he get in there with it? Why wasn't there security why wasn't he stopped at the door, unable to get past? Because nobody was doing that. No, all we want to do is we want to put this sticker up so that we can not allow the people that aren't the problem to carry a gun, so that when the people that don't care about that sticker show up, they got something to shoot at. That is actually what you're saying. That is all you're doing. You are putting fish in a barrel for the guy that come along that wants to shoot them. And that's all these signs do, and they don't do anything else.
Right. The people who put them up just, for some reason, they can't see that. They are trying to impose their own morals and beliefs on everyone, and they don't comprehend that the criminal out there doesn't have the same morals and values and just doesn't care.
Right.
You know, they can't wrap their head around that.
Right. But it's necessary that they come to that realization. Otherwise, people will continue to die in this fashion. So, okay, we're going to continue this when we come back. We're going to take a short break for the news. Back in a moment with more Trigger Time with Joe and Amy here on 55KRC, the talk station.
Hey, it's Brian Thomas. Monday on the morning show, you know it. It's Money Monday with Nathan Bachrach and Ed Fink. Also, your phone calls. We're talking about everything that happened over the weekend. Morning show, 55KRC, the talk station.
Okay, you're back with Trigger Time with Joe and Amy on 55KRC, the talk station. If you'd like to join the show with a question or a comment, give us a call now at 749-5500.
Well, hopefully you listened to the news and we broke away there. Hopefully you didn't just tune out for a second like sometimes I do, and you listen. Did you hear what happened? Now, you know, I don't need anybody to call in and tell me what city and everything happened in, because I didn't catch that. You can look that up for yourself. But it did happen. It was part of the news segment we just went to. A man went into a police precinct and opened fire, and he managed to shoot four people before he was gunned down. Now, at a police station. Now, see, your plan, if you work somewhere that's a gun-free zone, your plan is to call them to help you. Okay, this man walked in and got four of them before they got him. How many people at your workplace do you think is going to get gotten before they arrive? You hear what I'm saying? There isn't that much time. It isn't going to happen the way that your human resources director and your operations director hope it will. It's going to be fast, brutal, horrible, and everybody's going to be running around wishing they knew what to do, and nobody's going to be able to respond. All because of a stupid little adhesive sticker on the front door. It's absurd. The only people impacted, now I know I keep saying this, but it's like we got to say it all the time or people don't realize it. The only people impacted by laws and rules are people who obey laws and rules. People that shoot random people, walk through a building, whether it's their coworkers, former coworkers, or whomever, and shoot them, are not the people that obey laws and rules. They do not care about stickers on doors. They do not care about the consequences added to their 20 counts of murder for having violated that sticker. It doesn't matter to them, okay? So let's stop acting like it does. If Waffle House has taken this stance that they do not want people, concealed carry holders, in their business, then you shouldn't be in there. If you patronize a place that doesn't allow firearms, then shame on you. If you can avoid it at all, don't. Don't patronize them and let them know. I absolutely wouldn't. If they're not going to, now here's the thing. If they're going to put in the facilities to absolutely, completely, and totally prohibit anyone from getting in with a firearm, then okay. Okay. That's what they did in the courthouse. Then they can do it everywhere, or they can skip it. The only people that are going to be affected by that sticker are people that have had the training, have passed the background check, and carry in accordance with the law. These are not the people you need to worry about. Okay? I understand that I've heard people say, well, you know, Joe, but, you know, what if there's a robbery? And we don't want people you know, trying to handle the robbery for us. Well, I understand that. I understand that your policy might be go along and you never know, you might have a person in there who's going to try to take action. But what if that robber decides he's not going to leave any witnesses? Now these people have to die for your policy. People have the right, they have an inherent right to self-defense. They have the right to defend their own life, okay? And you have made it impossible for them to do that. And you have equally advertised to someone wanting to do harm that they can safely come there and commit their criminal acts without any fear of response, okay? If a person can walk into a police station, open fire, and get four people, what does that say they can do to you where you work? How many will they get? Okay, this is our plan, right? Our plan is we'll call 911, and then in 8, 12, 15, 20 minutes, the police will get there and put an end to this. You sure? How big a place do you work? Where's the shooter? How long will it take them to move through there, trying to watch and see where they're going? What is their policy on responding? Do they wait till one or two or three or four officers are on scene before they go in? These are things you need to know about your law enforcement and the place your children go to school, the place your kids go to school. Think about this. Why? Why is it so horrible to think that teachers and office workers and others, other adults there who are willing and trained, why is it so horrible that they be armed and able to defend themselves and the people there? Because there are people that if they are able, they will step in. They will try to save your children, my children, and others. But if we've completely and totally clipped their wings, what have we left them with? They can do nothing but stand there and watch. And that's the situation we've created by making a place a gun-free zone. Schools can be changed. They absolutely can. Is it going to be happen overnight? No, it's not. But it's never going to happen if we don't begin. The fact of the matter is your children are a sitting duck in a school. Even if there's a school safety officer there, even if there is, okay, a school safety officer is a uniformed officer. Anyone coming there is going to know who he is, and he's going to be the first to go. The bottom line is the only answer to a madman with a gun bent on hurting people are armed, competent people willing to act. That's the only solution, and we know that. We know that. Why do police officers carry guns? Why? If you and I don't need to be armed, why would police officers need to be armed? What do they do? Their job is to serve and protect. Serve and protect who? Us. Protect us from what? If what threatens them first threatens us, right? How is it possible they would need a firearm to deal with it if you and I don't? The logic doesn't hold up, and yet it's become, you know, the dominant logic of our country. It's amazing. This woman that wants police officers, yes, police officers need these magazines that she says are only in existence to commit mass murder. Why would that be? Well, that would be because these magazines don't only exist for the purpose of committing mass murder. They exist for a lot of reasons, okay? And it isn't mass murder. Can they be used for that? Yeah. Let me tell you something. You know what? You want to know the truth about what happened in Tucson? You want to know the sad truth? That is the price for living in a free society, and I will say that till I die. I know it stinks. I know it does. But the bottom line is you can't keep something like that from happening in a free society. Absolutely you can't. You know what we ought to be doing? Instead of counting the number of rounds this man's magazines hold, we ought to be thanking God he didn't go to Home Depot and build an explosive device, which he could have easily done. Right? A trip to Walgreens, a trip to Home Depot, and what do you got? You don't have 20 people shot. You got 100 people dead in an instant, okay? You can't stop attack in a free society. And further restricting law-abiding citizens will not stop criminal activity. It won't. You can't do it. You can put the thumb screws to me and to you and to my wife and to Scott and to all the rest of us. You can squeeze us until we squeal, and you will never affect one person who is intent upon committing a criminal act. You won't do it. It's absurd to think that you will.
It's funny, too, that the one person or the one group of people that they call to take care of the problem is a human being with a firearm. Well,
right.
They could have had that human being there with the firearm the whole time.
Right.
Why do you feel that a police officer would be more qualified than...
They may or may not be, right.
Right.
But one thing for sure, they're not there. You know, police officers can't be everywhere. I mean, you know, we expect them to be. If something happens and the police aren't on top of it, we're all over them. But my God, how can they be everywhere? They can't. And they'll tell you that. Look, we'll do our best, but understand, there are very few of us for very many of you, and we can't be everywhere at once. Danny, welcome to the show.
Yes, this is Danny.
Yeah.
I have a comment. I'm a police officer, and you're touching on it a little bit, and people really need to realize it. They do expect police to be there. But when seconds count, police are minutes away.
That's right. Absolutely right.
Thank you for your service.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you, Danny. I mean, there's a from the mouth of a police officer, and he's exactly right. He believe me, I can tell you, that guy, if you needed help, yeah, he's going to be there. He's going to jump in front of it. He's going to do anything he can do. But what happens if he's on the other side of town doing something else that he got called to do? Let's face it. I mean, talk to any police officer. I know a number of them. People call 911 for everything. They call 911 for everything. They expect the police to raise their children, to mediate every discussion that they have between their neighbors. I mean, it's absurd what people call 911 for. It really is. So these people are constantly chasing all of these other things, okay? Now, if he's mediating a discussion between a father and a daughter that the father and daughter ought to be able to have on their own, and he hears that there's somebody shooting up XYZ, he's going to leave, absolutely. But he's on the other side of town, maybe. He's got a long way to go. He can't be there. You are going to have to be able to defend yourself. And if you can't defend yourself, then you are SOL, and that's a fact. That's a fact. That's been proven. That has been proven. We've heard that some members of Congress are going to start carrying firearms. Why? Because their safety is in their hands and they know it. Because when somebody comes up and decides they're going to do you harm, there's not going to be a police officer there to stand in the gap for you. Would they? Absolutely they would. Most of them are amazing people who do a difficult job, and they do it to the best of their ability. Most of them are just that person. But they can't be everywhere at once. And these people will tell you, I can't be there for you. Would be, love to be, can't be. So you better be able to handle it yourself. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, what you ought to do is you ought to make certain that you are prepared to respond to your own needs instantly. Okay? Because when it comes fast, it comes brutal, and the decisions are made in seconds. All right? You've got to do what you can do as quickly and as efficiently as you can do it. All right? Laws can be changed. Laws can be changed. We would like to see everyone join the NRA and join other organizations that are pro carry and pro Second Amendment, like Buckeye Firearms and Ohioans for Concealed Carry, because these people are now coming against us more, okay, because of an incident that establishes, like nothing else, that people do need to be armed. They do. I mean, a person can just do this, and that's because we live in a society where people are free to do what they want. They're free to move about. They're free to go to Home Depot and buy devices that they can turn into lethal devices, mass-killing devices. It can happen. It can happen, okay? You don't have to have a gun. I mean, you can do a lot of damage with a lot of different items. Simply telling me, Joe, your magazine can no longer hold 17 rounds. Now it can only hold 10. What is that going to do for the people in Tucson? Nothing. What about the next Tucson event? What's it going to do for that? Nothing. It's not going to change anything. Some lawmaker is going to get their way, and they're going to feel like they did something. And then when that doesn't work, we're going to go from 10 down to 6. And then we're going to go from 6 to 3. And nothing will have actually
right.
happened.
That's not going to stop anything. That'll just mean that the person that is intent on doing this will just have to have more magazines on him, you know, so that he still has as many bullets as he wants to do as much damage as he can in the time he has.
And also, he might just avail himself of one of the tens of millions of magazines that exist and will exist on a black market like where criminals get guns and where criminals get everything else. Okay. You're not going to change criminal behavior by passing laws, because criminals don't obey laws. It's that simple. Okay, we got to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment with more Trigger Time with Joe and Amy here on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Hear Rush weekdays at noon and online at 55KRC.com.
Search Listen Live
from 55KRC, the talk station.
Okay, you're back with Trigger Time with Joe and Amy on 55KRC, the talk station.
Thank you, Amy. All right, let's go to the phones. Garrett, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Joe. Is this you?
It's me.
Hello, Joe, Amy.
Hi.
I love your show. I listen to it every Sunday.
Well, thank you.
And I couldn't agree more. This deranged person down in Tucson, when they denied him access back into college, the next report they should have made is should have been to that sheriff.
Yeah.
Should have been denied access to a handgun.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, this guy's obviously a nut, and there probably were warning signs and opportunities maybe that were passed. But, you know, it's like I said, if it hadn't been a gun, he would have used something else.
Oh, sure.
You know, this guy was a nut, and in a free society, you know, you can't be 100% safe in a free society.
Well, and if they're going to deny him a class, a sheriff would sure have reason yeah. enough to go talk to this guy.
I mean, I would think. And, I mean, you know, a shrine. Yeah, this guy had, like, shrines in his backyard with skulls. I mean, there were probably loads of warning signs. And I guess if I want a shrine in my backyard, I should be allowed to have one. But the bottom line is this was an unusual character. Everybody they talked to said, oh, yeah, this guy was really out there.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it's just a real unfortunate thing. But passing laws against me and you ain't going to affect
That's
people
exactly
like
right.
that. It's not going to change him at all.
You start jumping on law-abiding citizens.
Yeah.
I don't get the logic there.
Yeah, that's because it isn't there. You're right. There's no logic to it, and yet that's their best option.
And
it's
these
crazy.
No carry zones.
Yeah.
This makes these places culpable, possibly liable.
I really feel like it does. If they're
I
not,
could not agree more.
Absolutely. Hey, if they don't want people to have guns in theirs, then you put up metal detectors and hire staff to make sure no guns can get in. Otherwise, you're just ringing the dinner bell.
Bullseye.
Yep. Thank you, Garrett.
Eternal vigilance.
You too, buddy. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Winchester. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I got a comment on your topic tonight too.
Okay,
remember that sheriff's deputy that was shot up north? That was a single shotgun blast that killed her. So where did the 16 rounds come in?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that something? This is how absurd their logic is. They think that by restricting me and you from having a magazine that holds over 10 rounds, they're going to stop a criminal from committing a crime. It's insane.
And as far as I'm concerned, that sheriff ought to be under investigation for only sending one deputy out to report a gunfire.
Yeah, you
that
might.
That's insane right there.
That sounds insane. I don't know much about that incident, but you know, I think you're right on with your comment, Mike.
And that Dubly or whatever his name down there in Arizona, if they had a sheriff in that town, that this guy had numerous contacts as far as. I can tell from news reports with the sheriffs why he had never had a clinical evaluation to begin with is unbeknownst to me.
Yeah.
And
I hear you, buddy.
He ought to be investigated and not everybody else.
Right. Well, Mike, thank you for calling, buddy. I really appreciate the call and keep listening. The bottom line is I don't know much about this particular guy or what he's up to or anything like that, but the bottom line is the guy was a nut, and in this society, you know, we can't be 100% safe in a free society. It just can't happen. Hang on, I think we got a friend on the line here. Is that David Bowie?
Yes, it is. How are you doing,
Dave? Hey, Dave, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
We're doing good.
Hey, the reason I called in is you've been mentioning a lot of the metal detector issues and the compliance with that. One issue there you've got to understand is I've been a trainer for a federal agency, actually, where I was originally from, West Virginia, and that was their theory is we'll put security guards in a metal detector mm-hmm. and deny entry through a full person scan and a metal detector through them, similar to the airport security. When I spoke with their head of security during the training I was doing for him, I asked him, I said, what's your secondary line of defense once both of your scanning individuals are then shot? And there was.
That's a good point.
There is no denial. The fact is very few companies, very few industries are willing to go to the expense to truly deny entry to anyone.
Right.
What you've got there is the illusion of security because
right.
none of the security guards are bulletproof.
Excellent point, Dave. That's an excellent point.
Yeah, I just thought I'd bring that up because I don't want to give anybody the idea that that's going to make them safe.
No, it's not. You're right.
Security.
You're absolutely right.
All right. Well, I'll let you go. It was good.
David, thank you for calling, buddy. Call anytime.
Take care.
Bye. Yeah, you know, that excellent point. And, of course, you know, when I'm saying go to the extent of putting in these detectors and that, I'm assuming, you know, that these companies might look into that and realize the expense and say, oh, well, we can't do that. But he's exactly right. What if somebody does? Because there are places that do this, And then what happens when both your security guys here at the door get shot? What do you got now? Well, we don't have anything now. Well, so then really, you got nothing. It's almost even worse than not having it, because like he said, everyone inside thinks, oh, well, we're totally safe because we got the guys on the door down there scanning people. Nothing can go wrong with that except that bullets go through them as quick as they do paper. So absolutely, it's not an answer. You know, there is no reason. There is no reason to deny law-abiding trained citizens from being armed. There is no reason. And that's really what I'm trying to get at. Denying people who are law-abiding, trained people from being armed does no good. It only does bad. It can potentially be life-ending. It can't help anything. You will not stop a criminal by passing a law. It'll never happen. I don't care what you say. You'll never do it. They don't look at things and say, boy, penalties for killing all them people is pretty steep. Well, I better not do it. Yeah, and plus that sticker just pushes it right over the top. It isn't going to happen, people. That's not going to happen. They're never going to arrive at that conclusion, no matter what you think or how bad you want them to. And yeah, there are safety measures that can be put in place to try to stop it. And you know what? When I say I'd love to see these companies do that, I say that knowing that they never will. But because then that begs the next question. So we're talking about layers of security here, right? So what happens after that? What happens after that? Well, we don't have anything after that. And that's my point. Ultimately, you're still denying law-abiding people from exercising their human right to self-defense. I mean, what right do you have that's more personal and more absolute than your right to defend your life? There is nothing. And yet these companies deny you that when they put this sign on the door saying no concealed carry. Okay, we know people have a tendency to go to places and do harm. We know that. Watch television. My God, somebody just walked into a police station and did it. People do. So you could be in this situation. And now Waffle House or whoever has decided, yeah, but we want you in that situation and we want you to absolutely have absolutely nothing you can do about it except die. That's what they're saying. And it's unacceptable. It's absolutely unacceptable. People should not accept it. Don't accept it where you work. Don't accept it where you shop. Don't accept it anywhere. It's absolutely wrong, and it should be stamped out. And the only way it's going to be stamped out is if people make it known. We won't tolerate this. This is unacceptable. You know, it'll never do any good. It'll only do harm. You'll never save a single person by telling me I can't carry my firearm. It's not going to happen. The only person you're going to affect is me, and that's it. And I'm not the problem. So, okay, last few minutes of the show, I want to talk just briefly. Actually, the man just called in, David Bowie. Amy and I took a class from him, Advanced Concealed Carry, out at TDI. We've had a lot of training at TDI, and it's all unbelievable. Advanced Concealed Carry is probably one of the best classes we've had. It's an unbelievable class because it deals with, okay, you're in a situation where you're now facing a life or death threat. Go. You know, it's and now you've got, where's your gun? Where do you carry your gun? Do you carry it there all the time? What kind of gun do you carry? How quick can you get to it? How quick can you get to it and access it and then get off aim shots? Believe me, it doesn't sound as hard when I say it like that, even though it really does sound hard. But when you try to do it, it's unbelievable. It's life altering when you realize, wow, boy, I really thought I would do better than that. And
so it's not like shooting paper targets.
Not a bit. The paper targets have a tendency to hold still and not shoot back, and that is not what the other people tend to do. So Amy and I have put together a small class we're going to teach at Target World, 2 or 3 hours, and our hopes, the mission of the class is to help people realize the gravity of a real lethal force self-defense encounter. And hopefully people will then take the next step and go on to more and more training, because that's what they need. And the class, we're going to deal really with just, you know, we're going to talk about handgun selection a little bit, smooth draw, accessing concealed firearm, rapid target acquisition, target engagement, a little bit of moving and shooting, but very little of that. And we're going to talk a little bit about where you carry your gun, what you carry it in, and then covering garments. That is a snippet of advanced concealed carry. And believe me, it it is absolutely a class you don't want to miss. You know, all the courses out of TDI, in our opinion, enough can't be said about them. But what you got to do is, you know, where you can start is where you start. If you're interested in this class, contact Target World at info@targetworld.net or call them 772-3343. Tell them you'd like to take Concealed Carry 2 class. Email us at info@triggertimewithjoe.com, show ideas, questions. The goal of this show and the goal of the class coming up are the same. We want to help people survive these encounters. There's only one way that's going to that'll happen, though, and that's if you take what we tell you and you go beyond that. Training is the solution. The best training in the world is available right out there at West Union at TDI, so we'd love to see you contact them, too, at TDIOhio.com. So, Amy, till next week.
Okay, that's it for another hour of Trigger Time with Joe and Amy. We'd like to encourage our listeners to responsibly exercise their Second Amendment rights by being armed whenever legal and joining the NRA. Please visit our website, www.triggertimewithjoe.com, and email questions and suggestions to info@triggertimewithjoe.com. Tune in next week, Sunday at 7 p.m. for another hour of Trigger Time here on 55KRC, The Talk Station.